You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. That's it for Friday. That's what you get.
There you go.
I hope that helps you.
It's been a good week.
I hope that gets you through the week.
You're slobbering all over the table.
I got stuff all over the table. My cup's dripping here a little bit or something. It was so good, I spewed. Left a little bit for you to get later, you know, just in
That's
case.
It, yes.
Yeah, just a little
So I can slurp it off the table.
Yeah, we're not going to see each other again for quite a long time.
Boy, that'll be great. I mean, what a shame.
Be the saddest day of your life. It'll be like the day I walked out of your office when you wept and begged and tried to get me to stay.
I was hanging onto your ankle and you kept pulling me and dragging me right out of the office and right down the steps.
Yep.
Boom, right. Boom, 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 right. Boom.
I said, come on, little Danny boy. Let go. You said, Shane, come back,
come
Shane.
Back, Shane. I was saying shame.
Shame, shame, shame. I just rode off into the sunset north to the border.
Well, we have a giant question that is left here. So let's break it up in parts, all right? I think that there is some incorrect questions here.
Let me read the statement. Let me read it.
No, it's way too long.
No, I'm not going to read the whole thing, just the first part. Yeah. It'll be quick.
Go ahead.
I want folks to know. We believe that
we're done.
Okay, excellent. Hope you got it. This is the same person, right? All week, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we believe when a person gets saved,
come on, faster.
They are forgiven of all sins, past, present, future. Why then do many preachers encourage believers to continue to ask forgiveness for sins committed after salvation? My guess is that they would look at it as a difference between judicial forgiveness and fellowship forgiveness. I've never heard those terms. In that case, I think the term confess, as used in 1 John 1:9, may be a better term to use. Confession is an acknowledgement of sin, but it does not imply a need for forgiveness.
Okay. I think that's absolutely wrong.
Okay.
First of all, when a person gets saved, we're not forgiven of future sins. When a person gets saved, we are forgiven of the guilt of our sin. And we are placed in a different standing. We are adopted into the family of God. We are now His children. We are heirs with Jesus Christ. We are no longer aliens and having no right. We're no longer enemies, that we've been made peace by the blood of the cross. We're no longer enemies. We have been justified, not forgiven of all sins in the future. We have been justified. We have been placed in the blood of Jesus Christ just as if I'd never sinned, not just as if I never will ever do anything wrong.
Right.
And so it is a position, of course, we know God is eternal. He inhabits eternity. He is right now in the past, in the present, in the future, at this moment, which we cannot even comprehend.
Right, fathom. So when we commit sin after our salvation, the reason that we go and confess that sin is why?
Is absolutely forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to
forgive
us our sins.
Right.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We do need forgiveness. We need constant forgiveness. Because of our offenses against God, we need to ask Him to forgive us.
Right.
And of course, Jesus told Peter, how many times? You know, Peter said, how many times do I have to forgive? Jesus said, 70 times 7. Yeah. And our Heavenly Father is the great example of that. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it implies forgiveness. Right. Yes, we need forgiveness. So I wouldn't necessarily say when I got saved, I became sinless. Mm-hmm. When I got saved, I became justified in the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. I have now a new position. I am in Christ, mm-hmm. but I am still in this sinful body too.
Right, right. Just as a parent has a child and that child does wrong, it doesn't dissolve them, the relationship of your child, and you forgive your child of their wrongdoing when they do wrong again. You want them to confess. You want them to admit they did wrong so that they can receive a just punishment if that needs be, but the relationship is still there. And my relationship with God is that I am the child of God and that I love him, but there are times when I'm going to mess up. And when I mess up, I need to realize that, recognize that, and confess that.
Well, the verses, verse 8 and 10, both talk about saying if we say we have not sinned or if we say that we have no sin.
Right.
We're wrong.
Yeah.
Oh. And so to say I've been forgiven of all sins, past, present, and future, I think that would fall into 1 John 1:10. Mm-hmm. And I think that's incorrect to say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Just my opinion.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of those terms, judicial forgiveness and fellowship forgiveness, or judicial forgiveness and fellowship forgiveness?
No.
I've never heard those terms.
I mean, God is still our judge. We're going to still stand at the Bema seat of Christ. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. He is still our judge.
Mm-hmm. He goes on to say this, even if all my sins have been paid in full, my fellowship is hampered by unconfessed sin, not unforgiven sin. What do you think of that?
I don't know, because, Psalm 51, as it talks about, presumptuous sins, I think that there's a lot that we need. I think we're so sinful, we need to be constantly understanding how sinful we are. I thought the best example I ever heard of the word confess is to agree with God about our sin. Hmm. You know, we think of, confession is just saying, yep, that was me, I did it. You know, I mean, it's much deeper than that. To agree with God about my sin. If I'm going to do that, I mean, that's confession. Lord, I agree. This is terrible. Instead of, Lord, I told a little white lie. Please forgive me. And our heart isn't even in that.
Right.
You know, but looking and saying, Lord, I am so sinful that I'm looking at a little lie as a little lie and not a lie that all liars deserve to die and go to hell. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I'm not going, but I've got to agree with you that the truth ought to be much more important in my life than lying. Please forgive me. I think it's agreeing with God. This is awful. I did it. So sorry.
Yeah. This person who's written has asked for anonymity, and of course we always try to respect that.
But Bible terminology is important.
Yeah.
So let's use the Bible words, you know.
I will say that they're writing, they minister in a different country. They're in a different part. They're not in North America. And what they write and says is that part of the problem is that where they're at, that this issue becomes a struggling for the people that he's ministering with. He said, this is important to me because these conflicting messages being given out really confuse people that I'm trying to preach to. They know that they need forgiveness of their sins for salvation, but they confess the one-time whole body cleansing with the continuous foot washing. So I'm thinking he's dealing with people, obviously, that have been already taught or already trained in a false doctrine anyways. And he's trying to help write that.
Yeah,
right?
He says something about the one-time forgiveness,
right,
versus a continual every day. I ask God to forgive me every day, but I think that can be explained better. If you're trying to explain salvation is forgiveness, and there's a confusion. Yeah, I ask God to forgive me every day. Then you need to explain it another way.
Right.
You know, forgiveness is justification.
Yes.
You know, forgiveness is being sanctified by God. I am now made holy within. Mm-hmm. Being saved is being adopted into the family of God. Mm-hmm. Being saved is being placed in the family, and now Jesus Christ is my elder brother. It does not matter how often you ask for forgiveness. You're still in your family with your father, the devil. Huh. And so if you need to be adopted in the family of God. I think there's a lot of other ways you can explain salvation. If there's confusion, start explaining salvation another way.
Right.
Because the Bible has many terms. I just gave six, but there's probably 20 right. that you could use.
Right. It almost sounds like a Catholicism background. It sounds almost like a charismatic Catholicism or something, because, you know, in the Catholic faith, you need to go to confession. I don't think – how often are they supposed to go? Do you know? I don't know.
Well, supposed to be continually, just about.
Every day? Go to confession.
Good
every
Catholic
day.
Would, yeah.
Yeah. So
good Catholic go confess. That's why they start off with, "Forgive me, Father. It's been 3 weeks since
right,
my last confession."
Right, right, right. Okay. So the idea is that, you know, they say, "Well, I pray every day for forgiveness." So
then come at salvation something different, because mm-hmm. salvation is not just forgiveness.
Right.
Salvation is much more than that.
Right.
It is much greater, much right. more.
And he says,
fantastically wonderful.
Right. He's saying to the people that he's ministering with, most have never understood that true faith in Christ is a one-time permanent cleansing that does not need to be done every day to keep a person saved. And again, I think that's kind of a charismatic thing, because you're losing your salvation, right? I believe that if we would use more accurate terminology that reflects true Bible theology, it would cause less confusion. Now, when he says we, I don't know. I don't know if he's talking about dealing with people that are coming from other Baptist churches in the area where he's at.
I don't know that,
yeah. But it seems to me that it would be more of a Catholic, charismatic kind of mix there. I don't know. But, I mean, I think we do need to be careful in how we teach and preach people. You've said very well, you know, this week that if people understand that there's been a great change in my life.
Amen.
And that changes. I've been adopted into the family of God. Wow.
Reconciliation is a lot different than forgiveness.
Redemption
to buy back. Yeah. We have so strayed so far. To be redeemed, we're bought first, and then we're bought back again.
Hosea.
Amazing.
Book of Hosea.
Oh, amazing.
There you go. And the fact that God allows us, even after we understand what Christ paid for our sins, gave his life for our wretched lives. I was just thinking that yesterday. I was crying my eyes out driving down the road. I think, God, why did you choose to
Amen.
Love me?
Amen.
And then I think, and then I sinned. Then mm-hmm. I knowingly choose to do wrong. Knowing all that, I have to come to him and say, God, I do recognize my sin. I recognize that I wronged you, and I want to make that right.
Oh, wretched man that I am.
Yeah.
Who should deliver me from the body of this death?
Right.
I mean, that's why we groan, mm-hmm. because we want to be clothed upon that which does not displease the Lord.
Yeah.
Because we know we're displeasing the Lord every time we sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to be able to go and confess that. And I think, again, here's that example. You have children. When your children come to you on their own and say, Daddy, I did something wrong. What did you do? I broke this, and I didn't want to tell you. Man, that's awesome. What a thrill that is when your kids recognize the need to confess their sins, mm-hmm. knowing there may be a punishment, but they still come because they love you. Whew, that's awesome.
And they're also seeking to get out of getting in trouble, too.
Well, sometimes.
I mean,
sometimes.
And that's... You know, if I keep rebelling against God, he's going to have to chasten me.
That's right.
You know, because if not, we're bastards and we're not sons.
Whom God loveth, he chasteneth, right? Absolutely. Wow. That was a good question.
Yeah, so to
summarize
the week. Baptism. Mm-hmm. It is part of the Great Commission.
It is.
And when we're not baptized, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission.
Correct.
We want people to understand what baptism is. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I think that there is a understanding to try to teach and to educate scripturally.
I don't think we preach enough on baptism.
No.
Most preachers.
No, probably not. Huh. And so there needs to be a real understanding of what
that is. I think because in times past, everybody knew what baptism was, right? Not everyone, but I think it was a greater understanding.
For centuries, Baptists were killed because of incorrect doctrine of baptism.
Well, I mean, you take into the late 1800s, early 1900s, most people knew why churches baptized. I mean, evangelical churches
that preach the gospel.
Right, they understood because you got saved, you got baptized. And I think we have lost that in our society to a great degree.
Yeah, except for the Catholics and the Anglicans.
Yeah.
And the Presbyterians.
Yeah.
And the Lutherans.
Exactly.
Exactly. And the Reformed.
Yeah.
And the...
That's what I'm saying. So I think sometimes as preachers, we have a mindset that people understand what baptism is and they don't. They don't mm-hmm. understand why. They don't understand the how. You know, they understand that. So
yeah.
it takes time to re-educate educate people on that. Yeah.
Right.
Finish
yeah. You're 1,000% right. Yeah. You know, so we got to do a better teaching of baptism. I want to make sure people understand, same as the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Both those ordinances, I want to make sure that people understand it mm-hmm. because we're not really in a biblical literate society. And so I believe it takes time to educate. So I want to make sure that people understand. If I am not baptizing immediately upon someone's salvation, I'll take the blame for that, and I understand that. That's a serious thing. If someone maybe who they thought they were saved or maybe they were living a lie and they've been in my Baptist church for, 6-7 years, and they got saved and said, I've been playing a game. I really got saved today. I want to get baptized tonight, preacher. I'd baptize them right away because they've been around long enough to understand.
Right.
So that's my thing is I want to wait and make sure they understand. And I don't think there's a lot of things that would disqualify somebody for baptism.
Right.
But I do agree with the premise, although I couldn't really give you the doctrinal verse. So that's where I'm a little bit questionable. Uh-huh. But I do agree with the premise of, is it sensible to baptize someone and then in obedience to Scripture now, kick them out of the church? But even then, anyone that you really talked about church discipline, mm-hmm. you give them time to repent.
Yeah.
So I can see where if somebody baptized somebody and then said, now— you've been saved. You've been baptized. Now we want to encourage you. You need to live right.
Yeah.
So, you're in a situation, and I would think in a, 2 to 3 weeks, you need to really rectify this situation. You pray about it. What do you think the Lord wants you to do? We want to help you.
Yeah.
We'll try to encourage you now that you're a new creature. So I don't have a problem with the technicality of, oh, they got baptized and they're living together. If you're dealing with it, you're helping someone grow. I don't think that's breaking the Scripture, because even the Bible gives an opportunity for that person to repent mm-hmm. before discipline would be given.
Mm-hmm.
And so even then, I'm still not. But I think it's maybe wiser to wait, to where you don't have the. Some kind of like you tricked them, You know, aha, you caught me. You know, and now we've got all of these things we want you to do.
Right.
So I think maybe sometimes it's wiser to wait, but that's just my opinion. I couldn't tell you that's Bible.
I used to get a little frustrated with people. I'd lead them to Christ, and it took a long time for them to want to be baptized, and it used to frustrate me. But then as I got a little bit older, I thought, you know what, that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let them wait to that point where they realize this is a serious thing.
Right.
I don't want to wait years. But, I mean, if they took a couple weeks or a month to really understand, they're making a commitment
mm-hmm.
as well. You're becoming part
sure.
of our church, and there's
yep.
a responsibility. And people are skittish of responsibility today, no question.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a balance point there as well. So, yeah, good point.
Yeah. So I appreciate the questions.
Yeah, I do too. Thank you for sending it in. And, yeah,
and if
send
we
some more.
Sounded very critical and cynical, it's all Al Stone's fault, not mine.
Not we. People know who the we is. We sure appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Amen.
God bless you in your ministry. And we hope we've helped a little bit. I don't know if it's given any clarification, but we simply—
I think it helps our church people to think about some of these things.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's good for preachers to think about these
Amen.
Things.
Amen.
And laymen in the church, for sure. Young people coming up want to be in the ministry.
I want to try to be as consistent as I can.
Yeah, that's a key. These are things that as a young preacher listening, you know, you're studying for the ministry. These are questions that you're going to have and people are going to bring to you.
Oh, yeah.
So be ready and be searching the scriptures daily to find the answers from the Word of God. I'm Al Stone. It's been a great week. I will leave here in a few moments and we really won't see each other again for a fair bit. So I love you. I appreciate you. We do. We kid about each other a lot, but I appreciate
Amen.
You very much.
Amen.
And thanks for asking me to do this. How many years ago now?
I don't know. I have to look it up. Probably five.
Yeah.
Maybe
five
six.
Years, yeah. Well, if you figure 700 episodes.
Well, and then we had a lull after my heart issue.
Nervous breakdown.
It was just the trauma from your rotten guide work at in the Holy Land.
It's because you couldn't keep up. Your heart exploded. I'm glad we can laugh about
His heart was so loaded it nearly exploded.
Woven down. Oh.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, and I do appreciate you, brother, very, very much. Love you a lot. And, man, I'm glad to see the Lord using you, and I hear good reports all the time of everywhere you're preaching, and we just thank God for that.
Yeah,
the Lord's hand's on you, and it's good to see, you know, Brother Stensas and Brother Dahlke and many other people starting to say, hey,
yeah.
I think we can do that here.
Yeah.
So that's a blessing.
Yeah.
That's a blessing to see. So.
Yeah. I'll let you know that Bible Baptists in Beckley are working on reaching the entire state of West Virginia right
Amen.
Now. Yeah, they've been at it for a few weeks. It took a long time. They struggled there, too, with the whole size issue and all that kind of stuff for
yes.
the post office. And hopefully we get all the kinks. They've got the kinks worked out of that thing, and now they'll be able to do
you
great
gotta
things.
You've got to go yourself.
Yeah.
Because—
Yeah.
Although it's a federal thing, and they say one size is perfect in West Virginia, that size will not be accepted in Minnesota, or it may not be accepted in New York, or it may not be accepted in Ohio. You'd better go and ask first.
These United States are not always united.
Well, it's a federal thing. It ought to be the same. But it's at the whim of whoever's there.
That's right. So whim away.
Yeah, a whim away. A whim away, a whim
Stop.
Away, a whim
Stop.
Away, a whim away.
It's one of my favorite songs of all time. So, on behalf of Dan Wolfman and Al Stone, this is Tim Talks. Have a great weekend. Go read your Bible and get spiritual again. You've listened to Tim Talks. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday. Have a great weekend, eh? This is Tim Talks.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.